This is the Ethanol Report, speaking today with Bob Dineen, President and CEO of the Renewable Fuels Association. And Bob, the big story in the news has been the oil spreading across the Gulf of Mexico. And that's kind of serving as a wake-up call to our nation about how petroleum really impacts the environment.
Well, I do think the oil spill is another wake-up call, as if we really need another wake-up call, but it is another reminder of the very real price that we pay for our dependence on petroleum. And unless this country wants to get serious about addressing that dependency and doing what is necessary to encourage new markets and new production of alternatives to petroleum, we're going to be right back here again, you know, another 5 or 10 years or 6 months from now. Who knows? The fact of the matter is, as long as we are going into more and more sensitive lands and waters to feed our petroleum addiction, you're just going to have these risks. And look, we're going to need oil for a long time to come, no matter what. I get that. But we ought to be doing everything that we possibly can to be reducing that risk. And one of the things is maximizing, not minimizing, the amount of domestic renewable fuels we use in this country.
Now, I understand you've written a letter to President Obama asking him to take some actions that he could take immediately to address the reliance on petroleum and help expand the use of renewable fuels like ethanol in the country.
I think there are several steps we ought to be taking. Some of them are immediate, near-term steps, like recognizing that EPA's existing oxygenate stacking rules would seem to allow for 12% ethanol to be used today without more testing, without more delay. Just, gosh darn it, recognize that that's what you've already allowed in previous regulations, and let's move forward with that today. But that's not going to be enough, nowhere near enough. We need to blend more than that into gasoline, because we can and we should. So move expeditiously on the E15 waiver request, and not do a partial waiver, but allow E15 to be used by consumers that choose to do so in all vehicles. EPA doesn't have a shred of data to suggest that there's a problem with an older vehicle that they don't see in a post-2001 vehicle. And so their suggestion that they would limit the E15 waiver request to just those newer vehicles doesn't make any sense and would greatly undermine the amount of ethanol that could ultimately be used by marketers in such a fashion. But looking longer term, the Department of Energy has had a loan guarantee program, presumably to allow investment in new technologies and new feedstocks to move forward, and it's not occurring. They haven't yet made a single loan guarantee to a cellulosic ethanol commercial facility, and they need to do that. So in the longer term, they ought to fix that program and make it accessible to everybody. There are certainly other steps that should be taken that would involve steps that Congress should do, like most certainly extending the tax incentive and creating an FFV mandate. But these are things that this administration can do today that will address the need for more domestic alternatives to oil today and encourage increased renewable fuel use in the future.
You talked about the E15 waiver. We've had a story out that the Alliance for Automobile Manufacturers is now saying that they have tests that confirm higher ethanol blends will cause problems in many cars. What's your response to that?
Our response is, if they really get such data, let's let it out so that people can review it. And it looks as though it's E20, not E15, and there seems to be a lot of confusion about just what this is. In all of the testing that the Department of Energy has done, they've not uncovered a single problem with E15. And so I think that, with what EPA will have to look at, we ought to be able to move forward this summer and grant that waiver.
Now, you're attending a White House Clean Energy Forum this week. Now, what's that all about?
Well, the administration is continuing its effort to try to identify policies that it might pursue to assure that agriculture is playing a bigger role in the renewable energy future. And that includes all renewables, whether it's wind power, but biomass generation. But most certainly ethanol plays a role in that. And I hope that Secretary Vilsack and other administration officials that will be participating in that event today are indeed calling attention to the tremendous potential for farmers to add to the liquid transportation fuels in this country by maximizing ethanol use, perhaps in the ways that I have suggested today. Clearly, this administration is indeed committed to a broader role, a more aggressive role for farmers in future energy markets, and that's appropriate. We need to start having a conversation today about what in the world we're going to do with a 13.5, 14, or 15 billion bushel market for grain, because if there aren't value-added markets for that grain, such as ethanol, farmers across the Midwest are going to be looking to Washington for support. And frankly, that's not necessary when there are markets, such as ethanol, that can provide the economic development opportunities that we all want to see for rural America.
It's interesting that one of the criticisms sometimes we hear about ethanol is that even if we turned every bushel of corn that we produce into this country into ethanol, it wouldn't make up, wouldn't make just a small percentage of what we use in petroleum. And yet, we're seeing, you know, record ethanol production, we're seeing record corn production, and now we're facing a blend wall where we can't actually use as much as we're producing. Isn't that correct?
That's absolutely correct. We have absolutely run into the proverbial blend wall. You see it in the marketplace today where ethanol is selling in most markets between 80 cents and a dollar below that of gasoline. For crying out loud, gasoline marketers and refiners across the country should be buying up every single gallon that they can get, but they can't because there's no place to put it because of this arbitrary limit on what can be blended into gasoline, and because there aren't enough FFVs out there, flexible fueled vehicles that could utilize E85. We need to have a much more comprehensive and aggressive strategy in this country that can maximize and harness the ingenuity and productivity of American agriculture. That's the conversation we need to start in this country.
I think it's important that we not be seen as exploiting the tragedy of the oil spill in the Gulf, because this is still American energy that's being produced out there in the Gulf, and it's foreign oil that we focus on a lot. But still, the point is that we can produce more of our own fuel, and it can be a cleaner fuel.
Oh, absolutely. Look, what's happening in the Gulf is a tragedy. And, you know, all our thoughts and prayers go out to the families who have lost loved ones in that, the families who may be losing their jobs because of the economic crisis that will occur when fishing isn't allowed to move forward and everything else. It's a tragedy. But at the same time, it's a reminder of a very real price that we pay. And yes, we're going to need more oil, but we wouldn't be drilling in such environmentally sensitive ecosystems and risking the economic livelihood of so many people in the Gulf Coast were it not for our insatiable appetite for petroleum. We need to be doing as much as we can to take advantage of the bountiful surplus that exists in agriculture today.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Bob Dineen, President and CEO of the Renewable Fuels Association. I'm Cindy Zimmerman.